The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're listening to Singapore's most influential radio station, and you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danker, me, Manisha Tank, and Ryan Hwang. You know, guys, I feel there's a really big theme today. Obviously, we are discussing this bill that's going to make its way through Parliament, but also the big fall in the markets, all of it centered around now the idea that people are getting that this is going to run for quite some time, this coronavirus pandemic.
And what do you need when you know something's going to run for a long time? Breathing space. Yeah. That's what the companies are looking for. And that's what this bill, this COVID-19 temporary measures bill, would possibly do. It could seek to prevent, like, say, a hotel or a catering firm from forfeiting a deposit when, say, a wedding or a business function has been postponed because of this outbreak.
Yeah, and there's a breathing space. You also want more buffer. And that's what we've been seeing in the banking space. Some of the regulators telling banks to, you know, stop paying dividends so you have more buffer to weather the tough times ahead. And to get a bigger picture, we've got Sunny Hamid. He is the Director for Wealth Management at Financial Alliance. Morning, Sunny. How are you doing this week?
Morning, Ryan. I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, Sunny. Thanks for joining us this morning. I want to get your thoughts first on this proposed bill, right? So it's giving companies a bit of breathing space. It will delay things like rent repayments for up to 6 months. But I'm just wondering, is this just kicking the can down the road since you still had to pay back the same amount 6 months later?
Well, you could look at it from that perspective. But I think it will help a certain proportion of companies to actually survive this crisis. Mm. I think we have to work backwards. When we look 6 months to 9 months down the road, what we're going to see is, for lack of a better word, a tsunami of bankruptcies, whether it's individuals, whether it's companies, and even sometimes sovereigns or countries, because I think that's inevitable. So what we're doing today is basically to try and mitigate and prevent. Again, it's like flattening the curve rather than having a whole bunch of companies go bankrupt. But there will still be people who will not be able to pass through this period, despite the fact that we've gotten all these measures.
Okay, and the other thing that we are tracking is the announcement earlier this week from the MAS, where they announced measures that banks will defer principal repayments on SME loans to the end of the year. So if you're thinking about investing in banks, Sunny, how will this affect the business for banks in terms of income? Will they suffer a hit when you don't have that, you know, cash flow coming through in terms of income in the next 6 months?
Yeah, I think it's a two halves kind of situation, whereby it's going to be short-term pain for the banks because, as you correctly mentioned, revenues not to come in. They're going to have some issues with liquidity. And that's why I think early on you mentioned banks have been now, the regulators coming to ask banks not to pay dividends. So again, they have to kind of make sure that the liquidity positions are okay because loans are not coming back in. But again, if you do this, you are probably going to avoid what we call a bigger number of your clients going down in the future. Mm. Because if you're going to squeeze them now, then you're just going to ask, you'll be asking for trouble 6 to 9 months down the road when a lot of these guys just can't really pay and then they'll have to foreclose.
Yeah, short-term pain for long-term gain. Well, Sunny, there was this interesting point. We were talking about this, the central banks, latest New Zealand telling banks to stop paying dividends. We've seen this in the UK, in Europe. Do you see this starting to happen across the region, such as in Singapore? Because we are seeing a bit more realization that, you know, you need more capital to buffer for the tough times ahead.
Yes, I think it's really, you know, you don't normally find regulators putting their hand into, or rather putting their foot into the banking industry and telling banks or any other industry not to pay dividends because it's really a corporate board decision. So to have them come in to do so really tells you that they want to put every measure that they can in order to try and mitigate what's coming in the future. You know, we're seeing figures which is mind-boggling. In the U.S., we're talking about annualized a decline in quarterly growth of minus 34%. I think that's from Goldman Sachs. We're talking about the 30% unemployment rate. And so these are the numbers which I think central banks can see, governments can see, and they're saying, look, if this is the case, we're just going to go way beyond what we conventionally do in a crisis, way beyond 2008, and that's what we're seeing today.
All right, trading Sunny Hamid. He's the Director for Wealth Management at Financial Alliance. Well, Sunny, looking ahead, we are going to be getting the next wave of quarterly earnings. We've just heard from SPH REIT overnight that they've lowered their DPU despite higher income, so 0.3 cents down from 1.41 cents. Is this a reflection of how more companies are going to be more conservative? And what's your outlook for the second quarter earnings?
Well, I think second quarter earnings, you see, the first quarter was basically very much a China and maybe even North Asia kind of situation. They were impacted. Second quarter is basically where Europe comes in, where the US comes in. And of course, Singapore sitting in the middle and being an open economy, anyone gets hit, we will get hit. Hmm. So basically, it's not going to be a pretty picture, so to say. But I think a lot of people have more or less discounted a very bad first half. What they're looking for is guidance on the second half. And I still think guidance on the second half will be quite dismal. Hmm. You see, the fact of the matter is, while we may have passed the curve, the peak of the virus by the middle of this year, worldwide, including the US, without a vaccine, the virus is still around. Mm-hmm. So basically, social distancing measures, i.e. Shops, entertainment centers, airlines, will still have low demand, will still have half-empty seats because there needs to be a seat in between two seats. Revenue is going to be half even though people go back, for example, to that particular shop itself. So there will be all these things that will still be in place despite the fact that we passed the peak of the first wave, so to say. So basically, how you slice and dice it, you're still going to have half the revenues, even if it's in the best-case scenario. You're going to have less than that in a worst-case scenario going in the second half. So 2020 is really going to be a difficult period.
Yeah, the fundamental issue is still there. In fact, some companies have been withdrawing their guidance, and that's because what they are saying gets outdated very fast. The other thing about tracking, Sunny, just to wrap things up, is oil prices. We've been seeing them slump in the past month, and now WTI lingering around the range of $20 and Brent crude around $25 overnight. We've been seeing quite a bit of pressure on oil prices, and that's because there is a huge oversupply problem now, and refineries are even running out of space to stockpile the barrels of oil that they are trying to avoid to refine, because now it's just not profitable to do so. What's your take on where oil prices will go? How will this play out in the next few weeks?
Well, I've even read reputable magazine, oil magazine, oil industry magazine, suggesting that maybe 10 is the equilibrium at this particular point. Oil demand has been decimated from the perspective of no one, everybody's working from home, no one's using public transport, then no one's flying, no one's taking the train. So demand side itself, it's actually really all the way down to really levels which we cannot imagine, because this has never been the case before globally. Everybody's working from home, no one's driving to work, for example. On the supply side, as you correctly mentioned, there's huge amount of supplies. You just cannot stop refineries with the push of a button. So they're all scrambling to now rent tankers in order to fill up the tankers, to park their oil inventory on tankers offshore. So, and then again, if demand comes back on stream, what you'll find is you'll find that you have to first deplete the inventory from these excesses tankers and stuff. So you have a period of whereby I think oil prices will remain under pressure for an extended period. So again, 2020 doesn't really look like a good year even for oil itself.
Yeah, good point on how the stockpiles will be there, even though if we do see rebound, it won't be immediate in terms of oil prices. Mm-hmm. I've been chatting with Sunny Hamid. He's the Director of Wealth Management for Financial Alliance. Sunny, thank you so much for your time today. And have a great week ahead.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.